Dramatic shootout as the suspect in Raleigh's mass shooting is cornered, dead.
A series of fake 911 calls at schools across the state sent law enforcement officers scrambling this morning.
It puts us on high alert because we don't know it's a false threat till we get there.
Now the search is on for those who made the calls.
We're in for a freezing night. How low temperatures drop and the next chance to dodge some raindrops.
WRL was on the air for nearly 6 hours the night of the Raleigh mass shooting, Sky 5, giving us this perspective, this bird's eye view, as officers tracked down the suspect. But it could only go so far.
And tonight, newly released body camera video shows the tense and chaotic moments that we could not see from on the ground, and including an officer being shot and others firing back.
WRL's Joe Fisher has been sifting through these videos for us all day. He also spoke with a law enforcement expert to explain what these videos reveal about the search and the investigation. Joe, this is quite compelling.
Gerald, dozens of shots were fired in about 15 seconds. Some people might find this all pretty hard to watch. Police had been searching for the suspect for about an hour and a half that day back on October 13th. And when they finally found him, they say the 15-year-old opened fire.
Let's push.
Officers hop this fence with guns drawn, looking for the suspect in this shed, when all of the sudden, two officers and four deputies returned fire. One bullet fired by the suspect knocked RPD officer Casey Clark to the ground.
Where's he hit?
Right knee.
All right, put his tourniquet on.
But it just shows you how training comes into play, because you see all these up when that shot's fired, all these officers react.
As they tended to the injured officer, others secured the perimeter.
Yeah, we have not had anybody come out from where your shots fired came from.
In my opinion, watching the video, he's laying in wait just for them to get there where he could, you know, try to kill another one.
Officers and canines had been following the suspect's track for an hour and a half. Police say 15-year-old Austin Thompson killed his brother and four neighbors in Headingham. After the exchange of gunfire, police kept a distance.
Right, we need to start making arrangements. We think he may be in a building here. We need to start making arrangements for somebody to retrieve the bear. And we're probably going to have to pull the bear down the driveway to make an approach on this.
Moving in on him at that moment is not one of their priorities, because that puts all of them in danger, as well as that injured officer that's laying on the ground.
The suspect was finally taken into custody after a three-hour standoff. And outside of these videos released today by Raleigh Police, WREL also obtained a photograph that some will certainly find disturbing. This is a picture of the suspect, Austin Thompson, between the time he fired shots at police and when he was finally taken into custody. So let's go ahead and show you that picture. On the left, you can see the robot that was sent in by law enforcement. And on the right, you can see Thompson sitting up, clearly wounded by this time. After spending a month in the hospital, the 15-year-old was transferred to a juvenile detention facility where he still is awaiting a first appearance in juvenile court. New tonight, we can confirm four Wake County deputies who fired their weapons have been cleared to return to work. At last check, Raleigh police say two of their officers remain on administrative leave per standard protocol.
Boy, that video shows you the kind of situation an officer can find themselves in on any given day. Such compelling video. Joe Fisher live in Raleigh. Joe, thank you.
And we continue following new layers to a breaking news story. A Durham Police Department employee has been charged with first-degree murder. Police say Marcus Woods shot and killed Tyler Young at a home on Gary Street last month. WRL Durham reporter Sarah Kruger is live from police headquarters to tell us what Woods' title is within DPD, Sarah.
Michelle, DPD tells me he is a civilian employee, not a police officer, and that he works in the supply department. Now, police officers initially charged someone else in the murder and then realized they had the wrong guy.
This is the photo of Tyler Young from his obituary, which says his family will lay him to rest this weekend. Police say the 25-year-old was shot and killed November 21st at a home on Gary Street. Officers now believe it was a member of their own department responsible for his death. Marcus Woods was arrested yesterday on a charge of first-degree murder. Court documents list his employer as DPD. A department spokesperson tells me his exact title is procurement technician. Police originally charged 51-year-old Kenneth Cates in Young's murder, yet have now dropped that charge, saying through their investigation they realized Woods was actually the one responsible. Police say Cates was released from jail within 24 hours of his arrest. Woods remains in jail with no bond.
And I have asked DPD if Woods is still employed here. They are working to get me that information. I did speak briefly by phone with the victim's father. He did not want to comment at this time. Michelle.
All right, Sarah Kruger live in Durham for us. Thanks, Sarah.
Police have identified two people found dead in a car in Rocky Mount with a newborn and a toddler alive in the back seat. This was the scene from Sky 5. Officers say the 24-year-old Destiny Wiggins and 28-year-old Devon Brown were shot to death inside the car outside Barnhill Contracting. The two young children were not hurt, but they were taken to the hospital after spending hours in the car in frigid temperatures. Police say this was an isolated incident.
I'm Mark Boyle in the Live Center. Some traffic issues to tell you about right now. Looking at the traffic map, you see a lot of red out there. First, right here, I-40 heading south towards Garner. There's a crash that's going to really add to your commute, obviously, through that construction zone's already slow. But this is the area we want to talk about, a crash on the inbound lanes, the eastbound lanes right there. Alston and I-40 has only one lane getting by at this time. So this is what it looks like out there from the traffic cameras. You see the fire truck right there blocking off the traffic. So this is right there at Alston Avenue. And this is what it looks like, the other camera out there. So you can see that sea of lights, all of those vehicles right now trying to merge into one lane. Again, I-40 westbound near the Alston Avenue exit, all due to a rollover crash. It's unclear right now how bad those injuries are and the extent of how many other vehicles are involved. We'll monitor for this incident here as it develops in the Live Center tonight.
Thank you, Mark. More than a dozen bogus active shooter calls at schools across the state sent law enforcement scrambling today and put many schools on lockdown. You can see how they were spread across North Carolina. These so-called swatting 911 calls are designed to make law enforcement send out SWAT teams to handle the fake calls. WR's Gilbert Bays joining us now. He spoke with investigators who handled one at a local school.
Well, the call here at Jack Britt High School came in at about 8:30. Hope Mills Police, Cumberland County Sheriff's, and Fayetteville Police responded, and were told they have to take these calls seriously.
It's becoming a disturbing trend, fake swatting 911 calls. More than a dozen this morning, forcing hundreds of lawmen across the state, including those in Cumberland County, to respond like it was the real thing.
There was not an actual threat. There never was. We're seeing that this is a trend throughout our state here recently. What this does to law enforcement and any first responder is it puts us on high alert because we don't know it's a false threat till we get there.
The response was massive at Lees Road Middle School in Raleigh and Durham's Hillside High.
It's difficult. Obviously, our first priority is to make sure that the citizens, or in this case, the students are safe. So we want to get here safely so that we can continue to evacuate if necessary.
Lawmen believe the calls are coming from out of state. They put students, parents, and school administrators on edge.
It's a threat of mass violence is what it is. Even though it's a hoax, it's still a felony.
So all of those calls were fake. Now law enforcement agencies across the state are working together to try to figure out who made them. In Fayetteville, Gilbert Bays, WREL News.
Well, the cost of college education is skyrocketing.
How do people pay for this? Because, I mean, it's a lot.
Coming up, WREL investigates the soaring cost to attend a college or university and why that cost is outpacing inflation by a lot. Kat?
And it's definitely beginning to feel like December outside. It is looking like December as well out here at WREL's Night of Lights. The cars have arrived. A lot of smiling faces. I'll show you a preview of the new big dinosaurs coming up.
And Kat has the Knights of Lights. Clinton is having their tree lighting about to take place. You can see the folks milling about in downtown Clinton. We'll have current temperatures and what to expect overnight in the forecast coming up. Right now, the good indications for the U.S. economy, consumer spending in spite of high inflation, and will the Fed ease up on interest rate hikes? Also, we speak to the woman putting the royal family on the defensive over race when we see you here tonight.
Back now in WRL News, you're looking live at downtown Raleigh to the WRL Live Cam Network. What a beautiful shot tonight, all those lights. Christmas green there on that building. You're watching WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. We have talked a lot in recent months about inflation and the rising cost of just about everything. What about a college education?
Yeah, the cost to attend college has recently held steady, but our WRL Investigates team looked back 20 years to put that price into better perspective. Colin Browder joins us now with a closer look at the affordability gap. Colin.
So Michelle and Gerald, consider the annual cost to attend NC State right across the street from us, now close to $26,000. That's about half the median household income here in North Carolina. While the UNC system clearly compares well in affordability across the country, the cost of a four-year college education has far outpaced inflation. Do your students and their families feel the stress of paying for college?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
As an NC State University educator and a parent, Braska Williams knows the challenges of paying for college.
It's hard when you know you have that conversation with that parent. They're like, you know, Ms. Williams, I can't afford this for my child, you know, and so it's a little bit heartbreaking.
One of his daughters just graduated from state. The other is currently enrolled. He says the college conversation came with sticker shock.
How do people pay for this? Because, I mean, it's a lot.
Fortunately, his daughter's hard work in the classroom paid off.
How in the world are we going to be for this, you know? I'm just being honest with you. I don't know what we would have done if both my daughters didn't get full academic scholarships.
Many families aren't so lucky and wonder how college got so much more expensive over the past 20 years. To get a better idea of the rising cost of attendance, we examined an in-state student living on campus, plus inflation. Then we factored in the loss of per-student state funding because it would be fair to pass that on to students. And we found families paying much more. Based on our math and real dollar-to-dollar comparisons, price increases have jumped 17% at UNC Chapel Hill, 19% at UNC Greensboro, 52% at ECU, 53% at State, 61% at Fayetteville State University, and despite per-pupil funding nearly doubling since 2002, cost of attendance is up 174% at NC Central.
We've really sold college as the ticket, the golden ticket.
Economist Dr. Beth Akers with the American Enterprise Institute has studied various theories, including reduced per-pupil state funding, increased administration, but always steers back to simple supply and demand.
As long as they've got an eager incoming class willing to pay whatever price tag they're throwing out there, there's really no incentive for them to try to stay lean and mean.
This is increasingly certainly a kitchen table issue, right, for families.
Dr. Andrew Kelly is the Vice President of Strategy and Policy for the UNC system.
The truth is that if you are a North Carolina resident, you are far better off than the residents of most nearly every other state, with a very few exceptions.
A federal education clearinghouse ranks our state fourth in college affordability, and the UNC system ranks seventh in student success, defined as those who graduate within 5 years.
We need families to understand that there is money available for them.
Kelly says North Carolina has made several efforts, including NC Promise, to keep tuition in check, and students haven't seen increases in 6 years. However, other costs like food and housing continue to drive up the total bill.
It is more than a good investment for those students who complete, and in particular for those who complete on time. It is an exceptional value.
An investment for the future of our children, and a hard financial lesson for many families.
I mean, you figure if you have a pretty decent job, you should be able to afford college, but there's no way we could have afforded this.
Now, keep in mind, there are scholarships, financial aid options, and loans available depending on family income. Community college, of course, is a far less expensive option. You'll find some helpful links with this story at WRAL.com. And remember, we're only looking at public universities in this story. Private institutions, of course, run much higher. Michelle.
Yeah, they sure do. Colin Browder, thank you.
I want to talk about the weather now. Last night, it was relatively calm when we lit those towers that we have. Tonight, it feels like it should this time of year. Mike May is joining us now. Mike, temperatures dropping over the area.
But I have to say, I'm thankful that it was in the 50s last night when we were standing outside in the circle. And thanks to all the folks that came out to all three locations to help us celebrate and light our towers. Right now at Rocky Mount, you're down to 39, 40 over at Durham. You can see the Lucky Strike Tower lit. And here at WRL, our tower is aglow, 300-foot glory. Now, if you're heading to Knights of Lights, you drive by the TV station. You can definitely see the tall tower there. Out across the region, we're 39 at Rocky Mount, 39 at Wilson, 40 at Durham, 34 at Roxborough. So with the dry air and the light winds, temperatures are tanking, and we expect to wake up into the 20s in the morning. 37 right now in Smithfield, 38 at Goldsboro. The folks who are celebrating their tree lighting ceremony in Clinton that started at 5:30 this evening, 44 right now. So yeah, it's a little chilly. 46 for Fayetteville. And a nice evening for a fire pit, 41 by 7 o'clock. In fact, a lot of locations will probably be colder than that. 39 here in the triangle by 8, and by 9 o'clock about 37. If you have a fireplace, probably a good night to have it going too, because it's going to be a very cold start. At least there's no wind chill overnight to talk about or in the morning. All about high pressure, it's building in, but we're already eyeing our next storm system off to the north and west. It is not going to be loaded down with moisture, and it's not going to rain the entire day on Saturday, likely the first part of the day. Friday evening at 6 o'clock, we're looking at clouds increasing upon the area. Now, this version of Futurecast does not show rain approaching by daybreak. We think that will be the case. So if you're an early riser, 5, 6 a.m., there could be some light rain in the area. It will be light and spotty through lunchtime. I think this run of Futurecast is a little bit too slow. Cat will have a new version at 10 o'clock tonight on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. And as you can see, by 1 o'clock, still some rain in the area. And then after that point, it moves on out. We've got Christmas parades tomorrow. Folks want to get their Christmas trees, or I should say for Saturday. So hopefully the weather won't be quite as wet as what's showing up on the model. So lows tonight, 28 in Raleigh, 28 Fayetteville, 24 at Roxborough. Bundle up in the morning when you head out. Make sure the kids are dressed appropriately when they're standing at the school bus stop, or maybe just sit in the car with them until the bus comes. 60 at Rocky Mount, 57 at Roxborough, 63 Fayetteville, heading in a warmer direction for the day tomorrow. So our 7-day forecast, it's about a 30% chance for rain late tomorrow night and toward daybreak. So tomorrow evening is dry. Saturday, we expect some rain the first part of the day. It'll be spotty and light, maybe a few hundredths of an inch, and that's about it. Sunday is mostly cloudy, 54, partly cloudy on Monday, improvement in the forecast, 57, and then a milder rainfall for Tuesday and Wednesday. Both days feature about a 40% chance of rain, and then cooling down by Thursday of next week. Now, Cat Campbell is in the cold this afternoon and evening, I should say, at a Knights of Lights. How do things look out there, Cat?
It looks great. I've been staying warm walking between all the different light lands. I want to bring you into Wild Lights. It's one of our new spots here at WRL's Knights of Lights. You can see this ginormous T-Rex behind me. We have other dinosaurs, and the biggest dinosaur, it's back in the distance over there. You'll have to come out here and see it yourself. There's much more to see out here at Knights of Lights tonight. I'll show you some of the cool tunnels. That's coming up on WRL News at 7. So be sure to check back in a bit later on tonight.
Cool, Kat. Thanks. And stay warm out there. It's rather chilly. And Gerald and Michelle, looks like we're going to have a very cold night, so stay bundled up yourselves.
Yes, we will. Thank you so much, Mike.
Chris Lee is here. A couple of big stories in college football to talk about.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how something that's unexpected can quickly become what's expected, right? Well, the not-so-surprising ACC Coach of the Year coming from the Triangle. We'll have that. Plus, the college football playoffs is officially expanding to 12 teams in 2024. What that could mean for a team like the North Carolina Tar Heels. That's next in sports. The college football playoff expansion to 12 teams is set to begin in 2024. And when it does come around, that means a team like UNC would have a greater chance to play for a national title. UNC is playing for the ACC championship game this weekend, and it would be a huge springboard for the Heels if they were to win if the CFP were 12 teams this year. So here's the new 12-team format and how it will work. Starting with the 2024 season, the field will comprise of the six highest-ranked conference champion teams and the six highest-ranked teams that didn't win its conference. The top four ranked conference champion teams will get the first round bye. So that means independents like Notre Dame cannot get a bye. And while schools will host the first round games, neutral site bowls will be the semifinal and championship games. And the first title game is scheduled for January 20th, 2025 in Atlanta. All right, just 14 weeks ago, none of us had any expectations for Duke's football team. And then just a few weeks later, we had expectations. We expected head coach Mike Elko to be named ACC Coach of the Year. Today, he officially was. Elko led Duke to an 8-4 record just 1 year after the Blue Devils went 3-9 overall, including 0-8 in the ACC. Elko became the first Duke coach since Fred Goldsmith to win 8 games for the program in his first season. That happened back in the 90s. Congratulations to Coach Elko. All right, over the next 11 days, we will see men's and women's national champions in soccer crowned right here in our area. Wake Med Soccer Park will host the College Cup on the men's and women's side, beginning with the women this weekend. The men will be next weekend. Of course, local leaders are excited for what this could mean for our area.
It's going to be packed. It's going to be overflowing. It'll be standing room only. The place seats 10,000. The 10,000 tickets are sold. I imagine there'll be somehow a few more than 10,000 in here, just sort of jamming their way in, and it will be a great atmosphere. And I'm really thrilled for the student athletes.
The UNC Tar Heels women's team has a chance to win their 23rd national title in our own backyard this weekend. The Heels will play Florida State tomorrow in the semifinals. Two-time Cy Young Award winner and Williamston, North Carolina native Gaylord Perry has died after a short illness. Perry was the first pitcher to win the Cy Young in both leagues. In 1991, he was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. He's an alum of Campbell University. That's where he pitched in college. He was 84 years old, but he recently lived in Gaffney, South Carolina. That's where he passed away. But amazing life, amazing pitcher, and, of course, North Carolina native, so, of course, he's amazing, right?
And a legend. His brother Jim also pitched in the major league, so... Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Chris.
And thank you for joining us. We are minutes away from NBC Nightly News. What's in the soil of a major American city that could be connected to increasing cancer cases? NBC News Nightly News investigates.
And then at 7 o'clock, the weekend just ahead with a lot of fun things to do in the area. We'll take you through a list of what's happening coming up at 7 o'clock in our Out and About segment. See you then.